Hazos on the top of the first page. The context here is that the Jewish people are going to cross into Eretz Yisrael. They're going to go to Har Rizim and Har Eval, and half of the tribes are going to stand on one mountain, half the tribes on the other mountain. The Levium are going to be in the middle, and they're going to say 11 brachos and klalos. These aren't the brachos and the klalos that are at the end of the parsha, the Tochacha. These are 11 distinct brachos. The Torah formulates them in a negative. Arur is the person, cursed is the person who does this, cursed is the person who does that. But Chazal say they were said both in a negative and a positive. In other words, Baruch, the person who does the good version, and Arur, the person that does the bad version. They were 11. Why not 12? 11 is not a number you usually see. 12 is a number you see all the time. The answer is that connected the 12 Shvatim, but Shimon was left out. He didn't want to include an Arur for Shimon because he wasn't, Moshe didn't have in mind to give Shimon, the tribe of Shimon, a bracha. At the end of Parshas Zos bracha, when Moshe gives out the brachos to Bnei Israel, Shimon doesn't really get a bracha, and therefore he also didn't want to say Arur Kenegda. Anyway, the first 10 out of the 11 of these klalos are pretty straightforward in terms of what they mean. The 11th, which is what we're going to learn tonight, is not at all clear what it's referring to. The pasuk says, "Arur asher lo yakim es divrei haTorah hazos, lasos osam, ve'amru chol ha'am, amen." Cursed is the one, asher lo yakim. So that's going to be the word that we need to work on, figuring what it means, asher lo yakim. Cursed is the one who doesn't, who is not making this Torah to do it. And the whole nation will say amen. So what does this mean? So we're going to read the Ramban. Ramban first quotes Rashi, Kan kalo es kol haTorah kula, v'kiblu alayim ba'Allah uveshvua, lashon Rashi. In other words, this is meant to include all of Torah. After all, it says, es divrei haTorah, so it's all of Torah. Why? What is being added here? After all, they were already told the whole Torah. The answer is that here they accepted the mitzvos, and all the mitzvos with a curse, if they don't do it, and an oath if they do it, an oath to do it, and that's what's here. So Ramban disagrees. He thinks that that's not what's going on here. There's something special, something unique, something new that's happening in this pasuk. What is it? Ulefi da'ati, ki ha-kabbalah hazos, sheyoda b'mitzvos b'libo, v'yihyu b'einav emes, V'yamin shehaosa osan yeloschar v'tova ve'over aleihan ye'anesh. This Kabbalah of the Jewish people, meaning this acceptance, is that they acknowledge, I guess, believe, right? Asher lo yakim means that the Jewish people are being makim the Torah in the sense of accepting it, accepting its validity. The Ramban in a moment is going to say, like we find the Lashon of Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim in the Megillah. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim means that the Jewish people, after the story of, after their salvation and the story of Esther, so they reaccepted the Torah. So here we're making the Torah in the sense that we believe in the Torah. What does that mean, believe? So the Ramban explains, it's Yoda b'mitzvos b'libo, so this is significant. We, generally speaking, think of emuna in terms of belief in Hashem. Certainly that's the case. But this is emuna and mitzvos. What does that mean? The yub in of emes, these mitzvos should be in his eyes emes, should believe in the truth of the mitzvos. The yamin she'oso san yelo schar, the tova, and a person who does them will be rewarded and have goodness. I think what that means, the repetition, is doing the mitzvos both has a natural consequence of goodness and external schar, meaning to say, the Ramban notes earlier in Parshas Ekev, the Pasuk says, you shall do all the mitzvos latov lach. What does latov lach mean? For your own good. Meaning to say, the mitzvos aren't just random, they're not just arbitrary. God commanded us to do these things for our benefit. He commanded us not to do the averos because they are harmful to us. Harmful to us physically or more likely spiritually. there's a reason for all the mitzvot. So a person who does the mitzvot will benefit both in the sense of being naturally rewarded, and also in the sense, naturally rewarded meaning they'll benefit, they're healthy, right? Averos are like poison. When you consume poison, you die or you get sick. Not as a punishment, as a natural consequence. Likewise, averos. A natural consequence of doing averos is the harm that will befall you. In addition, one is punished. And that a person has to believe in. A person, in other words, who does mitzvos, but doesn't believe in their effectiveness or the reward or the like, will be in violation of this. And if a person denies, even one of them, you deny one mitzvah, or you don't deny it in the sense that you'll do it, but you say that this is worthless, it's pointless, it's a silly mitzvah. Otia be'enav b'teila le'olam. Maybe that means something else. Maybe it'll be batel forever, meaning to say the mitzvos will no longer be obligatory. Hine hu arur, that's this arur. Avalim avar al achas mehen. Now this is where he's disagreeing with Rashi. If you actually violate one of the averos, kigon sh'achal achazir b'ashaket le'tavaso, you eat some non-kosher food because of taiva, not because you deny the validity or authority of the mitzvah. Oh, shelo asa sukav lulav latzala, or you didn't perform a positive mitzvah because you were lazy. Not again out of denial. So then, enenu b'cheirem zeh. You're not included in this cheirem because you believe in it. You just were overcome by laziness. Kilo amar kasav ashelo yases divrei Torah zos. Now, if Rashi was right, it should say amar ashelo yases divrei Torah zos. Cursed is the one who doesn't do this. That's not what the pasuk says. It says ashelo yakim. El amar ashelo yakim is divrei Torah zos lasos. Ketam kimu v'kibla yudim, right? Yakim is like the word kimu in that pasuk. V'inehu cherem hamordim v'kofrim. This is the cherem of against those who are morade and are kofrim. So, this is an important thing to stress. I think in another context we once made this point here, but I think it's worth repeating, which is that some people have the attitude that Orthodox Judaism is about observance. It's not about belief. And as long as you do the mitzvos, you're Orthodox. Your shomer Torah mitzvos. What matters is orthodoxy. It matters action, not belief. Sometimes people call this heterodoxy or the like. So what this pasuk is telling us is that that's wrong. That doing the mitzvos is obviously essential. But even if you do the mitzvos, but you deny, or you don't believe, whether it's not believing in God, or even not believing in mitzvos, so then one is bechalal arur. Yes?
Isn't Kimi the Kibu by the Purim story?
Yes.
Talking about Torah
Shabbat. So there are different interpretations of what exactly new was Niskapa. One interpretation is it's referring to the path. Is trying to answer the question, well, what was new? They were already Makabal the Torah. So one answer is because they were Makabal the Torah Shabbosav at Sinai when they said Nas Manishma, and here's the Torah Shabbosav. But there are different answers to this question. But whatever it was some type of acceptance. Kiyamu is an acceptance.
So is there anyone who says that that's true here also, that in this pasuk is only talking about Torah
Shabbosav? No, because there's no reason why Kiyamu has anything to do with Torah Shabbosav. That's just to answer a question.
Except that there are certain mitzvahs you can't do unless you know that.
Maybe. I think what the Ravan is saying is it sounds like because the pasuk speaking generally as divrei Torah zos, it would presumably mean all of Torah. But if someone were to believe in the written Torah and say, but I deny Chazal or I deny Halachah Moshe Mishinai, Machish Magideha, so that would be Bechlal Lisara. So this idea that observance is insufficient, but the Torah demands belief is an idea that the Ramban says in a number of places. I'll read you one more place where the Ramban says it. He says it in other places, but one more place in footnote number one. This is from his Hakdama to Sefer Iyov. Amar Machaber, Davar Yadua ki Amuna Biadia Sakel Yisborach, Vimine Ashvalam, Vishayam, Vashkachaso, Bechlalam, Uvifratam, Pinos Gedolos, Mitoris Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav Shalom. It is known that belief in God's awareness of what goes on in the world, as well as his Ashkacha, both Klali and Prati, are cornerstones of the Torah. He's talking about this in his introduction to Eov, because one of the central issues in the book of Eov is whether God is involved in the world. Eov says at certain points he's not. Otherwise, if he was, this couldn't have happened to me. So, and much of the debate between the different characters in Eov is really about Hashkacha. So the Ramban begins by saying that Hashkacha is one of the cornerstones. Ki ha-kofer b'zeh kofer b'torah b'chlal. Someone who denies Hashkacha is denying Torah entirely. V'chein ha-kofer b'hashkacha shi'omar, or the first one is kofer in Yediyas Hashem, or kofer in Hashkacha. Shi'omar ena bari mashkiach b'vnei Adam im yasu tova ra. Somebody who says that God is not mashkiach upon people if they do good or bad. Vim yasigem davar hakol mikra lahem. If something happens to a person, everything is mikra. Lo b'chefetz eloka uvekavana. So not because God willed it or intended it. Gam leze ein lo chelek l'olam haba. Such a person has no chelek l'olam haba. Someone who believes in Torah, he believes in Torah Sinai, he believes in mitzvot, but he denies hashkacha, has no chelek in olam haba. Meaning it's absolute kfira. Now, there might be debate as to the exact nature of Hashkacha and how overarching as it is. Does it include everything? Does it include some things? That's all legitimate. But someone who denies the notion of Hashkacha, so such a person is no chelek in olam haba. Lo zikaron v'tzedaka b'torah, lo b'mitzvoseh v'lo b'yudeyah. He has no merit for observing the Torah, neither mitzvos or its rewards. In other words, even if he does mitzvos, a kofer will not be rewarded for those mitzvos. Ki lo yechuvan elehem. He's not mechaving to them. What that means, I think, is an idea that the Ramban says in a number of places, which is that when doing a mitzvah expresses certain beliefs. And if you accept those beliefs, so then the mitzvah will achieve its purpose. A person who puts up a mezuzah is acknowledging Yichud Hashem. If you put up a mezuzah and you don't believe in Yichud Hashem, in God's oneness, so then there's no purpose in a mezuzah. So the Ramban is saying here that there's no value to mitzvos if they're not accompanied with a belief. The aflo b'nevuah, someone who does this is denying prophecy, because many of the prophecies are all about hashkacha, God will do such and such, or he won't do such and such. Ki nevuah hashkacha gedola b'avis. Nevuah is a form of hashkacha. Likewise, the Ramban writes in his hakdama to Sefer Mitzvos, in his hasagat to Sefer Mitzvos, and mitzvahs to say hey, in the next line, Elavadai kol inyan atfila eno chova klal. This is a famous debate whether tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Rambam believes tefillah b'chol yom is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Vavadatam es ha-shokom okechem b'chol v'avchem. That's avodah shebelev is tefillah. And the Ramban disagrees. What is tefillah? Inyan atfila eno chova klal. It's not an obligation. Elahu humimudas chesed haborei yisborach aleinu. But it is instead a chesed of Hashem, that he allows us to do tefillah, and he listens to our tefillah. He listens and responds every time we cry out to him. So then what does the pasuk ulavdo b'chol avavchem mean? If it's not a mitzvah of tefillah, what's it referring to? Mitzvah say, shetia kol avodasenu lekel yisborach b'chol avavenu. It means that our avodah to Hashem should be b'chol levavenu, l'ovdo b'chol levavchem. You shall serve Him with all your heart. What does that mean? B'chol levavenu. Kolomer, b'kavana ritzuya shlema l'shmo. It should be done. B'kavana ritzuya shlema l'shmo. V'ein hirhur ra, not with thoughts of evil. Lo shenasa mitzvos below kavana. In other words, not to do mitzvahs without kavana. That would not be to be Oved Hashem b'chol levavenu, doing the mitzvahs, but doing that without kavana. Oh, al hatzafek, or with uncertainty, ula yesh bem to'elas. Maybe they have a purpose. Someone who does mitzvos based off of what's his name's wager? You know what I'm talking about. But you also forgot his name. Pascal's wager. He sort of said, look, makes sense to be religious, to do mitzvos. He wasn't talking about mitzvos. But because, look, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. If no, so then I haven't really lost too much by doing the mitzvos. And if yes, so look, I'll get so much reward in heaven for doing mitzvos. So someone who sort of does mitzvos ala safik, you never know. So that too is not fulfillment of mitzvah. Someone who does it ala safik. Mitzvos must be done with belief in their effectiveness and their divinity and the like. No, it's not a mitzvah. Well, lo de b'chol levavchem, I don't think it counts as a mitzvah, though I'm not sure. But rather, it's telling us how to do mitzvos. Ramban, I think it's a chelak in emuna. Yeah, Ramban doesn't have as formal of a categorization of mitzvos as Rambam does. Rambam says there's 613 mitzvos, and you know, if you were to add one, you'd have to take out another one. It's here the Torah is telling us how to do mitzvos. I don't know if you'd count it as a separate mitzvah, and I don't know if that's so important for the Ramban. Okay, so that's the first pshat in Ramban in this pasuk. The pasuk is telling us that someone who does not believe in the Torah is arur in a mitzvah. Then he quotes a fascinating Yerushalmi, number 3 on top. Yerushalmi besota reisi, asher lo yakim. So I think al derech Ramban, the first pshat that he said on his own was what he thinks is the pshat. Now he's going to call it a midrashic explanation from the Yerushalmi, but he'll note at the end that this midrashic explanation is in keeping with his explanation, though it's formulated in a more midrashic type of way. Yerushalmi sotarisi, asher lo yakim, v'chi yesh tor nofelis. Yerushalmi says, what does it mean, cursed is the person that does not, literally, yakim, pick up this Torah? Is the Torah falling, right? What does it mean you have to pick it up? Rabbi Shimon ben Yakim Omer, interesting, that was his name, Yakim, his father's name, ze hachazan. We'll talk about what that means in a second. Rav Shem ben Chalafta Omer, ze based in Shalmatam. This is the based in below. Demar, we'll explain what that means as well. Demar Rav Yehuda v'Rav Huna b'shem Shmuel, ahadavar hazeh, kara Yoshiyahu v'amar alay lakim. About this matter, Yoshiyahu ripped, and he said alay lakim. So let's try to understand what that means. So, anyone know what this is referring to? Yoshiyahu was a king, one of the last kings of Yehuda. He came after two really horrible kings. Menashe, who was king, I believe, for 55 years, and had the goal to eradicate Torah. And he was quite successful. And then his son, Amon, who was only, I think, for 2 years, was the king afterwards, and likewise, he was assassinated. And then came Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu became king at the age of 8. And he was a big tzaddik. And at a certain point in his reign, I think it was the 12th year, or the 18th year, I don't remember, he was doing renovations to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was in significant disrepair, especially it was just ignored during his father and grandfather's reign, but it was idolatrous, idols were brought into it and the like. And Yoshiyahu repairs the Beit HaMikdash. This is all discussed on the last chapters, I think 22 of Sefer Malachim Beis, as well as in Dibrei HaYamim. So they're doing repairs, and during the repairs they find the Sefer Torah. And there's something special about the Sefer Torah. Some of Farshim say this was, if you read the Pasuk very literally, this is the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote, or the like. And Yoshiyahu asks them to read it to him, and he does, and he's very inspired. He says, Alai l'hakim, this Pasuk, right? The Pasuk says, Arsha lo yakim, and Yerushalmi says, he heard that Pasuk, and he says, Alai l'hakim. Alai l'hakim. And then he basically totally reforms. Now, it's very fascinating because already several years earlier, it already was basically a good king. After all, he was refurbishing the Beit HaMikdash. But he totally changes. The Pasuk says there is never a king like Yoshiyahu. Never a king in all of, in the whole history of Malchus Beis David. And he goes ahead and he engages in an incredible campaign to eradicate all idolatry and get rid of the Bamos and the like. His end is quite tragic. Paro Necho comes into Eretz Yisrael. He was planning to go through Eretz Yisrael to attack Bavel and asks Yoshiyahu permission. Yoshiyahu said no. Paro Necho says, well, I have no fight with you. I just want to, you know, go through your land to attack my enemy. Yoshiyahu said no. Why? Because he felt that the Jewish people were on a madrega, that they would be zocha to special protection. Hashem says if Klal Yisrael is doing what's right, then charev lo tavo ba'artzachem. Not only will enemies not attack you, but they won't even go through your land. But he was killed. He was killed, and Chazal say that's because even though the Jewish people had to a large degree gotten rid of idolatry, they hadn't quite done it. It was externally removed, but internally they still had it. They had idols, as it were, behind their doors. When the door was open, the inspectors searching for idolatry looked. They opened the door. The house was clean with idolatry. That's because when the door is open, you couldn't see it because it was behind the door. And then when the door was closed, it was there. So they weren't zocha. They weren't worthy of this siyat shmayin. There's a famous kina that we say in Tisha B'Av about the kina that that Yeshayahu said for Yoshiyahu about the tragedy of the unrealized potential. But be that as it may, so what was this moment of inspiration that Yoshiyahu, that inspired Yoshiyahu? What pasuk was it that he heard? It was this pasuk. He said, he heard the pasuk, Arashelo Yakim Estibriya Torah Zos, and he says, Alai Lakim. So what does that mean? So the Ramban is getting at here, what the Yerushalmi is getting at, and the Ramban is about to explain, is that Arashelo Yakim means to support, to uplift the Torah. What does that mean? It means someone who has the potential to inspire, to teach, to uplift, and doesn't do it, he is included in this aura. And likewise the reverse, Baruch, someone who goes ahead and is capable of inspiring and does inspire, so then they're included in this bracha. And this also relates to the chazan. We'll explain what that meant, that line meant in a minute. Or Beistin, right? Why Beistin? Because Beistin has the ability to enforce the observance of the Torah, to encourage others to do more. And the Ramban now explains all this. Yidrashu b'hakama hazos. It's demanded in this hakama, this uplifting. Beis HaMelech v'Hanesios, whether it's the king or the nasi, shebiyadim l'hakimus haTorah biyad hanavat v'mos abed. They have in their power to be making the Torah in those that are mevatel. In other words, leaders have the ability to inspire. V'afilu hayahu tzadik gamor b'maisav. Even if he had a person who was a tzadik gamor b'maisav, imamish, he kept Shulchan Aruch punctiliously. Every diktuk behalacha. But v'hayayachol hachzik ha-Torah b'yad ha-Rashan ha-Mevat l'mah. So he had the ability to be machzik the Torah among those that are mevatel. He could have inspired others. And he doesn't. Harei zu arur. He is in this arur, in this curse. V'zek karov l'inyin shepirash. And this is similar to our explanation, meaning explanation two. Very interesting. Why is it similar? So let's think about what the Ramban here is saying. The Ramban here is saying that in both answers, the second and now the third, that this pasuk is telling us that observance of mitzvos are not enough. You need to be making the Torah. That means belief in mitzvos, and it means inspiring others to do better. And anyone that has it in their ability to inspire and doesn't is included in this aura. If you look at the actual Yerushalmi inside, which is a footnote 2, the top of the second page, it adds an additional line that Ramban doesn't quote, which I think is fascinating. Until then, until it's bolded, you'll see it's what the Ramban quotes. But then it continues, one more line. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Chiya bar ba lo limeid. Right? The lo lamad, the lo limeid, the lo shamar, the lo asa, the lo aisa sveka b'yadol hachzik, the hechzik. So then harezu b'chlal barach. Incredible thing. Right? Someone who... What was the first statement? The first statement was someone who has the ability to inspire but doesn't inspire is included in the arur. Then it says someone who has not studied Torah, has not taught Torah, has not observed Torah, has not done Torah, and doesn't really have the ability to be machzik Torah, meaning to say, inspire others, to support Torah. The hichzik, but he is machzik Torah, so that's this baruch. That's his responsibility. What does it mean? He doesn't have the ability to be machzik Torah, but he is machzik Torah. I think what this is telling us is that many people think that I don't have what to offer. I can't be machzik Torah. That's for rabbis, that's for teachers, that's for professionals, that's for learned people. For scholarly people, for eloquent people, for charismatic people. Someone who doesn't have those gifts, but is still machzik Torah, that's the bracha. In other words, what it's telling us, I think, is that we all have what to contribute. We all have the ability to be machzik Torah, each of us in different ways. But a person must think about what they have to contribute. And that's the message of this pasuk. The message of the pasuk is we must all be makim Torah. Because if we don't do our job, then, as it were, Torah is no fellas. Torah is falling down. It depends upon us to uplift it. Continuing in the Ramban. The Amar al Derech Agada. And they said, in other words, this is the earlier answer in the earlier words in the Ramban, Zachazan. What does it mean this is the Chazan? What's it referring to? She'eno meikim sifrei ha-Torah l'hamidan ketikunan shelo yiplu. So maybe it means that like the Chazan, when he puts the Sefer Torah back into the Aron, person that's doing... and he doesn't put it back carefully to prevent him from falling. That's what it sounds like it's saying. But then he says an amazing thing about the Linira. Now this is really what I think it means. Alachazen, she'no mekim sefer Torah latzibur, laharos b'nei sivaso lakol. What's that referring to? Hagba, exactly. This Yerushalmi is referring to Hagba, the Chazen who picks up the Sefer Torah to show everybody. K'moshim mefurish b'mesecha sofrim. The source of this, there's no place in Shas where it talks about Hagba, but it's referred to in Masechta Sofrim, and also this Yerushalmi. Shemagbian Osan, Oso, pick up the Torah, umara pnei ktivato la'am, and you show the writing of the Torah to the whole congregation, ha'omdim liyamino, l'smolo, umachziro, l'fana, v'l'acharav, to those on the right, those on the left, back and forth. It's actually halacha that sometimes people don't do. They do hagba, and they go a little bit this way, a little bit that way, and then they sit down. So that's not the mitzvah, because then only half the people get to see it. You have to make sure you go yamin, smol, lefanav, la'acharav, go all the way around, so that everybody can see it. Shemitzvah l'chol anashim ve'anashim. Oh, it's important. See from here that the Ezra's Nashim shouldn't be so restrictive so as not to allow for Hagbah to be seen, right? You go to some shuls and the women can't see the Hagbah. So he says, no, you have to make sure that the women could see. So that all the men and the women could see Liros HaKasav, to see what's written on it, V'lechroa. What does Lechroa mean? To bow, right? There's another misconception. I think a lot of people see the Sefer Torah and they do, they go like this. So, maybe there's a later source for that. But the real din, what the Ramban is saying, what we should be doing, is you bow. You see, I do that. You see, it doesn't mean you like bow, you know. That's what you do. You see, when it comes around to you, and now you're facing the words of the Torah, so you bow. That's, at least that's what I do. That's what the Ramban says you should do. And what do you say? V'lomar, v'zos ha-Torah, sher sam Moshe v'chulei. V'zos ha-Torah, that Moshe gave. V'chei no'agim. Now, how is this in keeping with his explanation? Because this is about inspiring everybody, and it's about acknowledging our belief in that which it said, saying out v'zos ha-Torah. Now, there's actually an interesting halacha here, which is, I'll tell you two interesting things. For one is he says that this is explained in Maseches Sofer. So what does it actually say in Maseches Sofer? So take a look at there, footnote number 3. V'achar kach magbiah Torah l'mala. Then you pick up the Torah, the Omer, Echad Elokeinu Gadol Adonainu Kadosh V'Nora Shemo Li'olam Va'ed, U'maschil Ben Ima V'Omer Hashem U'Elokim, Hashem Shemo, V'Acharav Onem Oso Ha'am. So at least Ashkenazim don't do this, V'Chozer V'Kofel, then you roll it up, V'Onen Oso Acharav Shtei Pamin. Miyad Gol Sefer Torah, Ad Shlosha Dapin, sorry, I said it wrong. First this is talking, yeah, you are goal of the Torah three dapin umagbiyahu, and you raise it up. In other words, the first was, I guess, when you're taking out the Torah, you say this, right? Which is similar to what we say. We say God lo Hashem iti and Ramon lo Hashem al yachdav. Sounds like what they used to do, which is also not something we do. At least Ashkenazim do is. When they're taking out the Torah, they sort of pick it up a little bit. So then you do Hagbah. So you unroll it, three columns, and you pick it up. Umar pnei ksivaso la'am ha'omdim li'yamino l'smolo, and you show that which is written in it to those on the right, those on the left. Umachzir lefanav l'acharav, back and forth, like we said. Shemitzvah l'chol anashim, v'nashim liras hakasav l'chura l'omar. V'zos ha'Torah asher samosav nei bnei Yisrael. Which is what we said, so that the whole everybody, men and women, could see what the Torah says. And what does it say? They say v'zos ha-Torah asher sam Moshe levnei bnei Yisrael. The idea of this might also be referred to in Maseches Megillah, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, next source, the famous statement that says hagol alo notel schar kulan, which probably means the person doing hagba gets schar for all of them. Now, the simple reading of the Maseches Sofrim is that when do you do Hagbah? What point of the davening do you do Hagbah? No? It sounds like before laning. Yeah, right. Anyone ever seen that? No, Sfaradim do that. Sfaradim do Hagbah before Kriyas HaTorah, Ashkenazim do it after Kriyas HaTorah. The Sephardi practice does seem to be more consistent with what it says in Devei Sofer. Either way, the idea is the same, but it is interesting. The way the Sephardim do it, it's almost like they point with the yad to where you're going to read. So everybody knows this is about where this is what we're going to read. So what is interesting over here is, so first of all, it's interesting, right? It says over here it should be open three columns. So the Mishnah Berurah points out, if you just look a little later, V'nir li detali lefi kocha magbia shiye biyecholto lagbia kashehi niglelas harbe. In other words, it's a very nice thing to do, but make sure you're strong enough to do it. If someone isn't strong enough to roll it out three columns, they shouldn't do that, okay? So make sure you get someone that's strong enough. Now, what pasuk does it say that you should say, both in the Ramban and in the earlier sources, Sefer Sofim? What do you say when they're doing Hagbah? What pasuk do you say? So what's missing from what it says? Ah, what's missing is Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. Right? What does it say? It says you should say, Bezos HaTorah Asher Sa Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael. Now, is there an objection to saying Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe? It does. That's why we say it. It adds an inspiration. Correct. So what objection might there be? What?
It's not. Hashem doesn't have enough.
No. It's not a pasuk. It's half a pasuk. Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe is not here. We take a different pasuk, so why is it an objection? We have a general rule, kol pasuk lo paskei Moshe. We try to say whole pasuk and not half pasuk. And many poskim therefore object. They say you shouldn't say that. You should just say v'zos ha'torah asher sa Moshe lefnei bnei Yisrael. Take a look at the Aruch
HaShulchan.
Aha. So Yud Gimel Mizrach, an excellent question. We should talk about that before Yom Kippur. Why is that okay? And that relates to how we do it in terms of Derech Tefillah and the like. Maybe this also Derech Tefillah. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan. I think the Mishnah Berurah also objects to that. Aruch HaShulchan, though, source 4 at the bottom, he says, Pelash anu omrim zos ha-Torah v'chulei al-pi Hashem b'yad ha-Rosha v'chein nidfas b'sidurim v'kasha tuba. This is very objectionable. Chada de'in ze pasuk b'shemakom d'v'zos ha-Torah hu v'eschanan. That's where the first part of the pasuk comes from. Al-pi Hashem b'yad ha-Rosha is b'sof u'sof b'haloscha b'masaos. Right? They traveled al-pi Hashem b'yad Moshe. So some people don't say that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious why the minhag is to say it. It does add to that point. But it's a fascinating thing. So this is really what I wanted to see with you tonight. This Ramban on what Arar Shelo Yakim means. And again, the Iker is the responsibility to both believe in the mitzvos and to inspire others to the extent that we can to do mitzvos. There's one other thing I wanted to discuss with you. I guess we have just a couple more minutes. This is from this coming week's parsha, and what I want to discuss now is from the parsha we just read, from Parshas Ki Tzeitse, and that relates to the mitzvah of Ben Sorer U'Morah. Ben Sorer U'Morah is one of the most mysterious, difficult mitzvos to understand. And the Ramban has a fascinating discussion, which I'm sorry I didn't print for you, but I'll read it to you. Ben Sorer U'Morah. Al Das Rav Hoseinu Einu Katan, Sha'katan Pater Mikol Onshin Shebatorah, Mikol HaMitzvos. Even though it says Ben, which you might have thought, maybe Pshutos HaMikvos, it's a minor. Chazal say Ben doesn't mean a katan, because a katan is pater from all onshin in the Torah. Avalua mevish de sairos, we're talking about a gadol, someone who has two sairos. Vina yesha lav shnei onshin. He has two punishments, really what it means is he's done two things wrong. And if you read the psukim, you'll know two themes that are stressed. Ha'echad, shumekala aviv imo umamir b'hem. He disparages his parents, he rebels against them. Right? You see that from the pasuk. Ben soreru morein, enu shomea b'kol aviv u'kol imo. He doesn't listen to the voice of his mother and his father. So that's one theme, one objection. In other words, what has this Ben Soremora done wrong? He's violated Kibud Avei in an extraordinary way, in an extraordinarily egregious way. But his Isser is being Mamre B'kol Avei V'kol Imo. Vashedi, Shuzolo V'Sove. The second theme of what he did wrong, stressed in the Pasuk, is that it says, Onenu Shomea B'Koleinu. Parents say he hasn't listened to our voice. Zolel v'sove. He's a drunkard and a glutton. Okay, so what's wrong with that? Over almashen it's davinu v'kedoshim to you. Fascinating. So what has he done? This Ben Samara steals from his parents to buy meat and wine. Very specific type of meat, specific type of wine. There are many technical conditions that have to be met for a person to be a Ben Soremora, so much so that there's one opinion in the Gemara that it's even impossible to happen in reality. But one way or the other, when we read the Psukim, what's the idea? What has he done wrong? He's in violation of Kedoshim to you. What does that mean? Ramban famously explains that the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you is Kadesh Atzmacha v'Moter Lach. Kedoshim to you means to be holy. In what sense? It's to sanctify yourself in that which is technically permitted, to follow not just the letter of the law but the spirit of the law. A person could go ahead and not violate any of the halachos, could keep kosher, but he could be novel b'shas Torah. It could still be disgusting. It could be a disgusting person. Your food you eat is kosher, kosher meat, kosher wine, but you're a glutton and a drunkard. And what has this Ben Soremora done wrong? It's an extreme violation of Kedoshim to you. Now, this is fascinating, because sometimes I think we think of Kedoshim to you as going beyond the letter of the law. In other words, it's not something that's obligatory. It's a good thing to do. What the Ramban here is saying is that, at least in an extreme sense, violating Kedoshim to you warrants Misa. V'namar oso ode, v'oso tavodu, uvotid bakun. The pasuk says, you shall serve God and cling to him. Kasher pirashi, shitznavinu, ladas Hashem v'chol drachin. What does that mean? We have to know God in all of our ways. Uvotid bakun. V'zol v'sove, this person who's the drunkard and the glutton, lo yeda derech Hashem. He's never going to know derech Hashem. So what has he done wrong? Two things. Violation of Kibud Av V'Em and violation of Kedoshim to you / Uvotid Bakun. Wow. Wow. Now then he says, well, V'alaklal Eimu Atachei Maves. Obviously, what he did now does not warrant Misa. He hasn't done any crime that's Chayiv Misa yet. V'al Shem Sofo Hunidon. Rather, he is executed because of where he will end up. Kamoshi Skira Boseinu. Chazal said about this that he's going to eventually not find his fix. You know, first he steals from his parents, then when the parents don't have any more money, he steals from other people. He's going to end up being the last name of Sabrios and the like. It's interesting. Ramban here doesn't stress what Rashi notes. Gemara notes of Yamas Zakai Al Yamos Chayiv. That's for his sake also. Let him die innocently and not guilty before, as it were, he's actually Chayiv Misa. Then he says a fascinating thing. V'zet tam v'chol Yisrael yishmu b'yirau. This explains the end of the Pasuk. After the Pasuk says that the Ben Soremora is killed, he's executed, v'gamuhu kol anshei ro b'avanim v'meis, v'yartar v'amikir b'achav, v'chol Yisrael yishmu b'yirau. The entire Jewish people shall hear and see. So why does it say that? When it talks about the execution of other criminals, it doesn't say, V'chol Yisrael Yishmu V'yirau, you shall kill the murderer, execute the murderer, V'chol Yisrael Yishmu V'yirau. It doesn't say that. Why over here does it say it? Remember, no, it's actually, it says it in four places. Why? Sorry? No? It says in four places. We'll look at Sota in a second, but this is what the Ramban says. Ki lo humas bego del cheto. Because this person is not being killed due to the severity of his sin. In other words, in all four cases, we have people that have committed sins, that have committed big sins. But the truth is that their sins are not ones that warrant misa. So what are they for? El yaser boas harabim, to scare the public, the masses. In other words, there are four people that committed terrible crimes, but the severity of their punishment is not so much for their crime, but basically so that others will learn. So Sota wouldn't be an example, because first of all, it's actually not an onish in Beis Din, it's an onish by God. And second of all, she's committed adultery, which is something that does warrant Misa. So what are the other three? Right, so these are, sorry, so other people won't err in the same way. The Torah, the derech of the Torah is to say this when people are being killed as a geder. So that their death will help others. So where else do we find it? Ki hizker kein b'zakin mamrei. Why is Zakin Mamre an example? Is Zakin Mamre someone who rules, refuses to submit to the ruling of the Sanhedrin, even after he's been outvoted, and continues to tell people to ignore what the Sanhedrin says and follow what he said? What has he done? He's told people not to listen to Sanhedrin. That's not something that in and of itself should warrant Misa. Rak. It's there in order to get rid of Torah. Machlokas from Torah. I mean to say, if there was no way of resolving questions and everybody just told everybody to do whatever they said, so there's no way, there would be no single practice. Everybody would be doing their own thing. You need a way to resolve questions, an ultimate way of arbitrating the issue, of deciding the meaning of the Torah. The Zakin Mamre who flaunts that system is undermining the whole system, and that's why it's chayav misa. So, again, what he does is serious, but it's not in and of itself chayav misa. Where else? V'chein be'edim zomimin. Sheneharagin v'lo hargo. Another example. It also says, v'chol yisrael yishmo v'yiro. Edim zomimin. Edim zomimin, what crime have they done? You could say, if they falsely testified, you could say they've done attempted murder, right? Through their false testimony, they have tried to get someone killed, but they didn't commit murder. The halacha is, as he says, that even though they didn't succeed in killing the guy they were trying to kill, they're still executed. What's the general penalty for attempted murder? Not execution. You're not executed. You're executed for murder, not for attempted murder. But why are they killed? Because they undermine the whole system. Just like the Zakin Mamre undermines the whole system. Why? By undermining the system of Sanhedrin and the idea that Chachamim, based off the majority, interpret the Torah, he's undermined the legal system, which is based off of the truthfulness of testimony. It's all based off of Eidus. V'chein hizkir b'meisus, number four. Who's the meisus? Meis is the person who tries to convince other people to do avodah zarah. Lefi shehu narag b'diburo hara, right? He's being executed for just speaking, for trying to convince others to do avodah zarah. Afal pi shelo avad ha-nises avodah zarah b'lo shama elof. Even though the nises, the person who is trying to convince, hasn't done avodah zarah, he hasn't listened. Aval misaso liyaser anisharim, but his execution is to cause other people to understand the gravity of avodah zarah and the like. Right? So something to think about here, which is a fascinating point. So we understand the other three, right? They've undermined a major system. Either the system of Sanhedrin, the system of Eidos, or Avodah Zarah. So their punishment is for the klal, in a sense. That's why they're treated so severely. Then they have done an Aveira, they've done a terrible Aveira. But still, their onesh is so severe for others. Right? Lav deal in American law. There are certain crimes that their punishment is much more severe than other crimes. It's not because the crime necessarily is so severe, but it's because, as a deterrence or the like, we want this punishment to be so much greater so as to deter people from trying it. Let's say spying for an enemy or treason or something like that, right? What'd they do? They told the Soviet Union a couple of things here and there. No. So, fine. So we understand this idea, but what is it that this Pentoromo is undermining? So he told us there's really two things. But they're fascinating, right? Let's say Kedoshim to you. What has he done? He's undermining Kedusha. And that's such a fundamental thing. That the Torah's Machadesh, this Misa, for the undermining of Kedusha. Because Kedusha is something that's so central to Torah. Which is something that to think about. The Ramban, just two more lines. The Gamzu mitzvah mechudeshes o mevu'eres. This is a mitzvah that's either mechudeshes or mevu'eres. What that means is the Ramban thinks all the mitzvahs in Dvarim are either mechudeshes, meaning new mitzvahs that haven't been discussed until now, or mevu'eres, meaning to say they're elaborations of mitzvahs that appeared in the first four books. So, so that same point, because kibud av va'em is a central mitzvah. No, I think it's two things. There are two things that he's undermined, and they're both extraordinarily central, which warrant this onus. One is Kibud Av Em, and one is Kedusha. So, if it's Mivu Eres, it's Min Kabedes Avicha V'Yasimecha, V'Shimo V'Yaviv Tirao. If it's Mechudeshes, it's because it's one of the other themes. Something I want you to think about, we're out of time, so I'm not going to answer it now. Famous question, the Rishonim already asked this on Ben Zomara, but something to think about this time of year. Which is relates to tshuva. The famous Medrash, Rashi quotes it, about Yishmael. When Yishmael was running away from, when Hagar was running away with Yishmael from Avram and Sarah, so he was dying of thirst. And Hashem wanted to create a well to save his life. And the Malachim said to Avram Avinu, to Hashem, so this man, his descendants, are going to kill your children. How could you save him? And Hashem says back to them, right now, is he righteous or wicked? And the Malachim answered, he's righteous, he's not. He hasn't yet committed those crimes. And Hashem says, well then he can't be punished. So, doesn't this mitzvah ben Tzomorah, or is Nidon al Shem Sofo, contradict that?
Do you go based on the opinion that there is no such thing and there never will be?
Okay, but I don't think that really solves the problem, because that it's still a value. That's a whatever ben Tzomorah, even if you say Lohay v'lo Nivra. So why is it written? Drosh v'kabel schar. What does that mean? To learn its lessons. Whatever the lessons are. Many lessons. But, okay, you could say, yeah, the lesson is how bad addiction is in Kedusha and all those things, right? But I don't believe so. I think the pshat is that part of the lesson is Ne'arag al Shem Sofo. And if you're going to say that contradiction is a contradiction with the notion of Asher Husham, then it's a problem. Okay, that might be true, but that still isn't it still going against the idea of Basher Husham? You're saying Basher Husham doesn't apply if you're so incorrigible? Isn't Basher Husham something that says no, even though it's going to happen. Again, there are differences. Like, for example, Ishmael hadn't done anything wrong. This fellow has done a lot of things wrong already, right? He's far along in his path. We have the societal factor that the Ramban says. The answer that you said. But I think there's even more. I think there's more. So. Ha, you're saying Rosh Hashanah is only for non-Jews. That's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. Okay. That would answer the question if it's true. So I want you to think about that. It's a good, something to think about, I think, this time of year when we're thinking about tshuva. So next week we have the question and answer session. Anybody have any questions? You can email Lisa. If you have no questions, we'll do something from the parsha. Not email, fill out the chart or whatever. Okay, have a good night.
Thank you.